And welcome back in to Inside the Numbers, GameDaySportsRadio.com. Bogey Wood, it's time to break down tonight's Clemson, Alabama national championship game. And for that, of course, we bring in Mike Bernard from OTM Sports based out in Las Vegas. Mike, back in August, I mean, it seemed like just yesterday, and now tonight, the final game of the college football season, and we're going to have a national championship here in about 13 hours or so. And you know what? I think even back in August, no one would be surprised if you said it was going to come down to Alabama and Clemson.
Coach, I don't think I've ever seen a college football season play to form like this one did, because so many of the experts and pundits, they picked Alabama and Clemson. Of course, they were not going out on a limb. And after tonight's game, we're going to have the first 15-0 champion.
Yeah, that's crazy when you think about it. When I'll never forget back in 1992 when the SEC really started this. They used an obscure rule in the NCAA manual meant for Division III conferences only. Roy Kramer took that, and he was familiar with it because he had a Division III background, okay? He was familiar with that rule. And what he did was take that and use it as, we need two more teams in the Southeastern Conference, and we're going to have a championship game. This all started because of that. This playoff we have right now and all these other conference championship games are because of the vision that Roy Kramer had. I don't know if he ever envisioned it getting this far, but it has. But I remember that when everyone said, hey, that's it. You know, we will never have another undefeated champion out of the Southeastern Conference because, you know, Southeastern Conference, such a great conference, and, you know, they play each other. Now we're just adding one more game to the mix. Well, guess what? Right out of the gate, Alabama goes 11-0, wins the conference championship to go 12-0, then beats Miami in the Sugar Bowl to go 13-0. So right out the gate, you have a 13-0 national champion. And again, now we're looking at our first 15-0 national champion.
Right. And to your point on that SEC title game, it could have blown up in year one because Florida, was tied with Alabama late. But then another thing, a great thing that stemmed eventually from that game, that was the first game where overtime was a possibility. And a few years later, it was implemented across the board in 1A football. And, of course, now we don't have to worry about ties anymore. This game tonight, you've got two heavyweights. And you're right. It all started with 92 from that point when Roy Kramer instituted that, implemented that championship game. Now we've gotten to the point where we have four teams in a playoff.
Mike, you look at these two teams, and they sort of mirror each other. I mean, they're averaging Clemson 44 points a game, Alabama 47. Clemson only giving up 13, Alabama giving up 14. I mean, when you know, you can transpose any of these numbers and nobody would be able to catch it because these two teams look so much alike.
Right, and they're built the same way. I mean, they're built from the inside out, and right now the point spread's anywhere from 5 to 6. Alabama's favored. Now, Alabama opened in some casinos as much as 7 or 8, but again, now they're between 5 and 6. The total opened at 61, which is a really high number considering those figures you just gave. The defenses are giving up about 2 touchdowns each, but I think the odds makers looked at previous meetings. Take, you know, the 2 championship meetings, there was over, you had 85 points scored in one and 60 points scored in the other.
And one thing about this game, you've got two quarterbacks that are both young and both explosive. Tua Tagovailoa for Alabama, the sophomore that came off the bench at halftime last year, led Alabama back to the championship over Georgia. He's 223 of 321, 3,600 yards, 41 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Trevor Lawrence, who didn't actually take over the starting job until into the fourth game, after the fourth game of the season, 239 to 365, a little over 2,900 yards, 27 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. I think you look at the productions that these two quarterbacks have had over the year, and that's a cause to think, hey, they're going to be a lot of points tonight. And maybe both of these defenses may have a little chip on their shoulder because of that.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's a good point about Lawrence. He started late. And remember, Tua didn't play in the fourth quarter till November. Mm-hmm. So these quarterbacks, they put up those kind of numbers and didn't even play, you know, the normal amount of snaps that a starter would play. And, Coach, one of the guys that at OTM that handles NFL, and he works with the draft status and so forth, he says that if these two were eligible to go in the draft this year, they would – that both would be in the top 4 picks.
I can certainly understand that. Mike, when you look at the running game, both of these teams like to run the football. However, Clemson is a one-man show. Alabama has a stable of running backs.
They really do. And, you know, it's – and they're all fresh because they share the carries. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll say this. This is going to be the toughest defensive front line, even with Lawrence out for Clemson. This is going to be the toughest defensive front that I think Alabama's faced since last year when they went to Auburn.
Yeah, these two defenses, they're great. Now, again, you can't – losing Dexter Lawrence has to affect your level of play. It just does. But when you think about it, there's a drop-off, but – you know, it's like dropping off of a small molehill. It's not like dropping off of a mountain because Clemson, as Alabama, they have capable backups on their defensive line. I think the way I look at it, I really like Clemson's defensive front four, even without Dexter Lawrence, better than Alabama's. However, I think when you factor in the linebacker play that Alabama has, you look at both front sevens, I think both front sevens are about equal.
Yeah, that's a good point, but I usually lean to the team that has the better defensive line, and you're right. You cannot – I mean, Dexter Lawrence takes up 2 blockers, and that is gone now. And the other players are great players, and many of whom will go on to play in the NFL. It's just it's a break for Alabama that Lawrence is out, but at the same time, it's not going to be an easy task going against that defensive front. I think both teams are going to have to throw the ball downfield. They're both capable of doing that. We've seen that all year, because I don't think either team's going to have much success running the ball.
Yeah, it's going to be on these quarterback shoulders, no doubt about that, to create plays down the field and explosive plays. I think that the key to this game is going to be if turnovers are the same, being a defensive guy, I always look at turnovers first. And if turnovers are equal, I think the winner of this game is going to be the team that you look back and say, yeah, they had more explosive plays than the other team.
Right. I think it's going to come down to the quarterback play and the skill players. ETN, the great receivers for Clemson, the great receivers for Alabama, and, of course, Tua. I just don't see either team grinding out a run game. They might break some big runs, but for the most part, it's going to come down to the passing game.
Well, ETN, as you talked about, he's kind of the one-man show for Clemson. He's rushed for over 1,500 yards this year. And then you have Damian Harrison. He's the feature back at Alabama. But, he's only carrying the ball 139 times because they've got Josh Evans, and then what's the other guy's name, 22. He's
Harris too, right?
Yeah.
And then you got Josh Jacobs, the kid from Oklahoma that was a 2-star.
Yeah.
And he may be the they rate him as the highest rated back on Alabama's team as far as NFL potential.
And Alabama also has a stable of great receivers. Jerry Jeudy leads that bunch. Clemson, they have good receivers, but just not of the marquee that Alabama does. I mean, you got Jerry Jeudy, he's the Biletnikoff winner.
Right, he is. But I would say of the receivers for both teams, you're going to have five of those kids playing in the NFL.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. All right, Mike, now another thing about this game is for the five straight years, now you've given us the point spread winner for the national title game. You know, are you going to make it six?
Well, I certainly hope so, but this is a really tough call. I mean, Alabama beat every regular season opponent by 20 points or more, the first time since the 1800s. I believe Yale did it. And I look at Clemson's defense. They're arguably the best defense in the history of that program. My pick's going to have to come down to a couple of factors. Clemson has the better defense. The last three national title games were decided by five or less. They were close games. And very surprising to some people, Alabama is 2-3 straight up and 0-5 against the number in their final game of the season since 2012 when they beat Notre Dame. So Alabama failed to cover last year against Georgia. They won the game. They didn't cover against Clemson in 15 or 16. And the point spread tells me Clemson covers, but it does concern me that nearly every analyst and 80% of the handicappers I know are on Clemson. I don't like being lumped in that group, but hey, the game handicaps to Clemson plus the points, so I'll take the points. I'll look for either team to win a close game. Wouldn't surprise me if Alabama or Clemson wins, but as far as the point spread, I'm going to take the points.
Okay, Mike, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a minute, and we're going to take a look at championship game facts, and we're going to take a look at some of the prop bets that are going on out in Vegas that you can bet. We'll do all that when we come back. GameDaySportsRadio.com.